Amen. Good job, ladies. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This morning I want to preach a sermon on what is the purpose of the church. What is the purpose of the church? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And let's pray. Father, we need your help. Holy Spirit of God, that indwells us, please teach us, guide us to truth, help us to understand it. For those here who might not be saved, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help them see their need for a Savior this morning, and help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you're going to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is the purpose of a church and church activities, you know, that we have around here? And why is it so important? Why was it that over 45 years ago, ladies like Mrs. Bunny Manser got together and prayed for God to start a Baptist church in Monmouth? Why was that important? There's lots of churches around. And why do we have so many churches around? And why are there not only churches around in Maine and New England and the United States, but around the world? Why do we meet for a church service? Why Sunday school? What's the point of getting up earlier on Sunday morning than you have to go in and be a part of a Sunday school class? What's the point? Why morning service? Why are we here this morning? Why Sunday night? I mean, why not just stay home on Sunday night and watch football instead of coming to church? Why? I mean, there should be a reason behind it. Why in the world would you ever want to go to church on Wednesday night after you work all day? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to this world. Why would you want to work hard all day? You're hungry. You're tired. You just want to go home, sit back in your recliner, kick your feet up, and just relax for a few moments. But instead, you got to drive straight to church. What's the point? And why ladies soul winning? Why do the ladies get together at 10 a.m. on Thursdays and go out soul winning? Why do we have soul winning in the bus ministry on Saturday? You see, the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians from prison. He was been in prison, and in Acts chapter 19, it tells us the story about when the Apostle Paul went to Ephesus and started this church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19 and 20. Acts chapter 19 teaches us that for the first 3 months, Saul just went to the synagogues and debated about Jesus in the synagogues. He started in the synagogues disputing and debating. But guess what happened after about 3 months? He got kicked out. He got kicked out. So after he got kicked out there, he met in a place called the School of Tyrannus for 2 more years. I mean, went to this place in town, had regular meetings at a consistent basis where people got together for 2 years and met with the Apostle Paul. Paul preached. Paul was in Ephesus, the Bible teaches us, for 3 years, and preaching Jesus Christ. At one point, many of his converts got together, and they got their witchcraft and occult books together, and they burned them all in town. And the Bible says it was worth over 50,000 pieces of silver, which is millions of dollars in today's economy. And he got people pretty upset in Ephesus, people who were making idols and people who were using the occult and witchcraft to make money and also to promote idolatry and paganism. Acts chapter 19, verse 10 tells us that because of this church plant in Ephesus, all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word. What an impact that church had. If the purpose of the church was just to preach the gospel, then Paul could have washed his hands of Ephesus and moved on. If the purpose of the church was just to make sure you knock every door and talk to every person and preach the gospel to every person, that's an important part of the church. But it's not the only purpose of the church. That's not the whole purpose of the church. That's why Paul gave them the most earnest warning before leaving in Acts chapter 20. He says, take heed to yourself and make sure you feed the flock of God with the word of God, because grievous wolves are going to try to come in after me and deceive people and take advantage of people. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. They hugged, they embraced, and then Paul left and they didn't see him again. If the purpose of the church was just to spread the gospel like we do for Ladies Soul Winning Thursdays at 10, like we do Saturday on the bus ministry and soul winning. If the purpose of the church was just to spread the gospel, then wouldn't he be right? Then why would he be writing this epistle 10 or 15 years later? He already did his work there. He already spread the gospel there. So I want to go through these verses in Ephesians chapter 4. To show us the purpose of the church, and not just the purpose of the church in Paul's day, but the purpose of the church in our day. And let me start by saying this. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. The church is to be a walking, talking representation of Jesus Christ here on earth. That's our job as a church, as Victory Baptist Church. People should have a walking, talking representation of our Savior in this area. What would Jesus do if he was on earth today? You should have to look no further than your local New Testament church. The most wonderful thing about the church is its likeness to Jesus Christ. Everything that is not like him is an ugly blemish on the body of believers. The things that bring people to church and keep people in church, you know, the family-like atmosphere, the love, the friendships, the camaraderie, the relationships that you build, those are the things that we get from Christ. But the things that aren't from Christ, those are the ugly blemishes that we have. Those are the things that people will point to and say, well, I don't go to that church anymore because of this or because of that. The most wonderful things of the church is the likeness to Christ. The purpose of Victory Baptist Church is not just to get the gospel to the lost, but that the body of believers would be conformed to the image of Christ. That's why it's not just good enough if a church has the right Bible and soul winning program. The church ought to have more than just the right Bible and soul winning program. They ought to have standards, and they ought to have Bible teaching and Bible preaching, and they ought to encourage and challenge its members to be conformed to the image of Christ. So let's just look through these verses. Verse 11, it says, Ephesians 4, 11, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Some had apostles. Those who were called and trained by Jesus Christ, like Peter, James, John. The apostle Paul was an exception. He was added as an apostle later because Jesus called him on the road to Damascus and trained him. So what we see here is some had apostles. The church in Ephesus had an apostle. The church in Jerusalem had an apostle. They had apostles. Some prophets. That's like John the Baptist. He was the last Old Testament prophet. Some like Jeremiah, he was a prophet. Isaiah was a prophet. Moses was a prophet. So some had apostles. Some had prophets. Some had evangelists. The Bible teaches us that Philip was an evangelist. Philip went into Samaria and he preached the gospel. An evangelist is not necessarily what we think of evangelists today. Today we say, well, they're an evangelist. That means they go and they travel to churches and they preach at churches and they encourage the people of God and they get them all fired up for a revival and they move on. That's not a biblical evangelist. A biblical evangelist is someone who goes into an area that doesn't have the gospel. They preach the gospel to people who have never heard it or don't have access to it, and they see souls saved there, and they plant churches there. It's basically our definition for what a missionary is actually a biblical evangelist. They are sent to a different place that does not have the gospel message, and they plant a church, and they see people saved. Philip was one of those evangelists. And then you have what applies to Victory Baptist Church this morning, some pastors and teachers. This is what we have here. And at other like-minded churches all around the world. So what purpose has God given us, the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and our pastors and teachers? Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Number one, God has given us in our church, how it's been applied here. For we don't have an apostle. I'm sorry, I'm not an apostle. I do not claim to be a prophet. And I'm definitely not an evangelist because I don't plan on going anywhere. But we have a pastor here. And we have teachers here. And we have Sunday school teachers and other things. And junior church preachers and Victory Kids on Wednesday. And what's the goal? For all our ministries here at Victory Baptist Church, the goal is to preach the Word of God. To teach the Word of God. It's not just to get together for kicks and grins and to have a little fun and fellowship and food. Those are all great things, but the most important thing is the Word of God. Teaching and preaching the Word of God. I do not like it when I hear about activities happening at Victory Baptist Church that do not have the Word of God preached or taught. I think every youth activity ought to have the Word of God preached or taught. I believe the WMS meetings, they have a Bible study. I heard they heard a wonderful testimony on Wednesday night where the ladies get together and help encourage each other in the Lord. We ought to have some type of teaching, some type of preaching when we get together, because that's why we were given pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting means maturing. Your pastor, your teachers are here to help you grow in the Lord, to help you become more mature as a Christian. What's the number one, the next reason why we have pastors and teachers? For the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is to be done by the pastors and the teachers. They're not just supposed to tell you what to do. They're supposed to show you what to do. They're not supposed to tell you how to live. They're supposed to show you how to live. And that's the purpose. That's why there's biblical requirements for deacons and biblical requirements for pastors. Because it shouldn't just be anyone up here preaching behind the pulpit. Anyone up here teaching in a Sunday school class. It should be people who follow the biblical qualifications. Saved, baptized, separated from this world. And so we should have those things in place as a pastor, as a teacher, as a helper in a Sunday school class. I mean, that's our job. That's why we have Sunday school. Why do we have Sunday school classes? Because I can't personally disciple 100 people every week. But you know what? I don't have to worry about Miss Becca's class. You know, we got second through fourth grade teacher there, Brother Jamie and Miss Yoli. They can work when their students are missing. They can reach out to those students and help them grow. We got Mrs. Snyder, who's been teaching for a long time, thankfully, because I got saved in her Sunday school class, and she keeps tabs on her class. Then you have, of course, Brother Leonard and Brother Jared and Mrs. Madrano and Mrs. Barry, and you have Pastor Josh and other teachers, and I'm not going to name them all right now, but the purpose of us having these people in our class is to perfect them, to mature them through the knowledge of the Word of God, and also for the work of the ministry, for leading by example. And it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To edify means to build up. We ought to be building our classes and building our church and growing in grace. Because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But hey, some plant, some water, But God gives the increase. So if we're planting and if we're watering, we're doing the work of the ministry, God is going to do his part and give the increase. That's why it's good to see new people come to church and get saved and get baptized. I'm encouraged to see Jason back there who just got saved a few weeks ago and came and got baptized. Our baptistry was leaking and we took him to the lake and dunked him in the lake. And he's got a bad back. He can barely walk, but it didn't stop him from going out there and getting baptized. And I'm telling you, that encourages me because the church ought to see souls saved. It ought to see lives changed. It ought to see the church grow. But it's not just the job of the pastor. It's the job of the pastor and the teachers. We work together in unity, one with another, to mature our classes and mature this church and to do the work of the ministry and lead by example and also the edifying of the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. He was apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. He was sent by his Father, trained by the Spirit, preached the word of God, evangelized, pastored, and taught his disciples. Our ministry here at Victory Baptist Church is to continue his ministry. That's our ministry. Our ministry here is to continue his ministry that he had on earth while he was here. That's the purpose of the church. He might not be physically leading us, but we have his blueprints in the Word of God. We have his example in the Word of God, and we are to follow in his footsteps. The purpose of Victory Baptist Church and churches in general is for the pastors and the teachers to perfect the saints, to do the work of the ministry, and to edify and build up the body of Christ. To what end? Until we all get certificates? That'd be nice, right? Then we could just watch football. No, let's look at verse 13. To what end? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Guess what, church? We haven't arrived yet. And we're not gonna complete verse 13, this side of glory. This is why we need more church and not less church. More Bible teaching, not less Bible teaching. More ministries, not less ministries. More soul winning, not less soul winning. Why? Verse 13 again. Till we all come, each and every one of us comes in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God until a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Personally, I have a long ways to go. I made a confession in Sunday school class. Are you ready for this confession? I know some people preach this as the false gospel. They say you have to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life to be saved. And, of course, that's just putting a string attached to God's grace. That's a man-made grace. That's not God's grace. Guess what? Jesus Christ is not Lord in every area of my life. I fight it every day. I fight this old, dirty, rotten, stinking flesh every day. And I can say he's my Lord, and I try to obey him, and I try to do, but I fail every day, and I yield to the flesh, and I don't fulfill what the Spirit wants me to do on a daily basis, and I struggle. Guess what? We haven't arrived yet. We haven't arrived yet, and we need to keep striving for the mastery. We need to set our face like a flint and endure the suffering like Jesus Christ endured the cross. I've got a long ways to go. But what's the alternative? Hey, if we had a church where all we did is preach the gospel, we didn't preach doctrine, we didn't teach doctrine, we didn't preach separation, we didn't practice separation, what would be the result? Look at verse 14. It says, that we henceforth be no more children, that's babes in Christ, those babies, not perfect man, not a mature man, a baby. It says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If you have a church that all they do is preach the gospel and all they do is pass out gospel tracts and give out Bibles, but they never teach and preach the doctrines of the Bible, they never preach or teach the Word of God in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have a church full of babies. Little baby, what we could do is this, instead of Miss Yoli having the nursery, we could have nursery up here. I could put little bibs on you all, and I could get the baby food out, and be like, all right, here comes John 3:16. Open up for John 3:16. Are you ready? Oh, good job. Oh, you're just, baby. Is that what we want? No, we want to grow. Eventually, we want to enjoy the meat of the Word of God. We want to get to the meat and the taters of the Word of God so we can grow stronger in our faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Say, well, Pastor, I don't understand why you have to preach that. Because we need to grow. Pastor, I don't understand. Man, 1 Samuel again? What are we doing? Going through the whole book? Yes, we need to grow. That's why it's important to stay with the Word of God. I don't want to become a pastor, and I don't want our teachers to become teachers. All we do is read a Bible verse and then give the class our opinion for 45 minutes. We need to preach and teach the Word of God. What does the Bible say? And learn to grow in grace. That's why we preach the things that we preach and teach the things that we teach, because Christians who are weak or ignorant are easily deceived. They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Someone comes along and shows them a Bible verse, and they're like, wow, I got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. I never did that. And so now I have to go Acts 2:38. That's the only Bible verse I know, Acts 2:38. And they get sucked into that garbage. That's why we need to know the Word of God. We need to know our Bibles and pray every day, because weak and simple-minded and ignorant baby Christians are easily deceived. They're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Now, I remember when COVID came, and of course, these people aren't here anymore. And one of the things they got very upset at me was because I would not preach behind the pulpit that the vaccine was the mark of the beast. Did you know it has serpent venom in it or something? And it basically makes your DNA come out to 666. I don't know. But I said, that's not in the Bible. And so, to me, that's a weak, anemic baby Christian that got sucked into every wind of doctrine. Just because you got the COVID vaccine doesn't mean you took the mark of the beast and you're going to hell. That's not what we find in Scripture. But that's what happened. And guess what? A lot of weak Christians, their minds consumed with what they're hearing on the radio or hearing on YouTube, and they're so focused on things that don't matter that they strain at a gnat and they swallow the camel of obedience that we're supposed to be doing every day. And we need to worry more about what the Bible says and less about what people say. Unfortunately, this is where a lot of churches seem to be stuck. They have a lot of spiritual babies, and they're in this spiritual baby rut, and they're not going anywhere, and they're not growing. They might have the right Bible. They might have the right doctrine on their website. They might have soul-winning times, but the people in the church are spiritual babes in Christ, and they need the sincere milk of the Word to grow thereby, but they're being starved by the pastor. They're being starved by the Sunday school teacher. Hey, Sunday school teacher, is your class growing spiritually? If your class is not growing spiritually, you are failing them as a Sunday school teacher. If this church is not growing spiritually and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you're not understanding the doctrines that we preach and teach around here, I am failing you as a pastor. I need to be willing and able to give an answer to any man. I need to be apt to teach and to teach you what we believe and why we believe it, and with the Bible verses to back it up. I hope that you're learning. I hope that when you come on Sunday morning, you feel like you're getting fed by the Word of God. And when you come on Sunday night, you're getting fed by the Word of God. And when you come on Wednesday night, you're getting fed by the Word of God. Even on Saturday mornings where our meetings in the bus ministry, I usually give a short little 5-minute ditty about soul winning and how you can be a better soul winner, things you can use for soul winning. I mean, I should be helping you grow and teaching and training you, just like our Sunday school teachers ought to be doing the same thing for our classes. Our junior church pastor ought to be doing the same thing for those kids in junior church. The victory kids on Wednesday night ought to be doing the same thing for those victory kids on Wednesday night. If I find out the Bible's not being taught and God's word's not being preached, let's just shut it down. It's not worth having it. Not worth having it. Now, the nursery will let you get away. You can just blah, 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 at the babies, but you don't have to have a Bible lesson in there. But so there's a certain way. Well, let me get back to my notes here. We are going to keep pushing this church closer to Christ. Keep preaching his word. Keep ministering in his work. But there is a certain way it should be done if we are to emulate the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because one thing I've learned is you can't just bring people in and say, all right, Brother Jared, I'm sick and tired of how you're living. You straighten up or get out. That's not going to work very well. Look at what verse 15 teaches us. Ephesians 4:15. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him and all things, which is the head, even Christ. But speaking the truth, not compromising, speaking the truth in love. Without love, we're nothing. Now, you cannot make your class grow spiritually or numerically. You cannot make this church grow. I can't make this church grow spiritually or numerically. All I can do that's in my power to do is speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love and allow God to do the work. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We roughly went over a few of these verses not too long ago. But 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. It says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So here we see that clearly, if we're going to teach, we're going to preach, we're going to train people to be like Christ, we need God's love in our hearts and our lives so that we can pass on his love that we've received to them while we teach, while we preach. Husbands, you need this love in your home. You need to love your wife with this charity. You need to love your children with this charity, and mothers with their children and children with their parents. We ought to be having this charity in our life and everything that we say and do. It is our love for Christ, the Bible teaches, that constrains us. We cannot love the lost. We cannot love each other until we first love him like we should. When do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he said it in John 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's through obedience. So I just don't think I love God like I should. Keep obeying. Just keep doing right. Keep doing right, and your love for God will supernaturally grow. When we love the Lord Jesus, you know, we can come to church with a Bible in hand, with a heart ready to receive his word, and a prayer to be more like him. So when we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're coming to church saying, teach me something. I want to be more like you. I don't want to be more like Pastor Chris. I don't want to be more like, you know, Miss Marion. I want to be more like you. I want to be more like Christ in my life. And I am not coming to church for man. I am not coming to church for the music program. I am not coming to church for anything else, for the food. I am coming to church because I need something from Jesus. I need something from his word. And I need to be more conformed to the image of the Son. When we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to come ready to receive something from his word. As a church, it's our love for Jesus Christ that unifies us in our faith. There must be a common ground we all have as a church. You know, if you come here because you like the building, and another person comes here because they like the food, and another person comes here because they like the paved parking lot, and another person comes here because they like the preaching, and another person comes here because they like the singing, and guess what? We're not unified because we all have different things we're coming to church for. But if we all come here because we love Jesus Christ, then we can be unified. It won't matter if it's dirt in the parking lot or pavement in the parking lot. It won't matter if there's mac and cheese for lunch or if there's filet mignon for lunch. It won't matter if Brother Zach's leading the singing or Charlie Brown's up here leading the singing. It won't matter if I'm preaching or whoever else is preaching, because it's the love we have for Jesus Christ that unites us and brings us together as a church. If we're going to grow and mature and be perfected, if we're going to serve and minister and work, if we're going to edify this body and build it up, we are going to have to be in unity, and the common ground that's going to unite us is Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God. He is the one that brings us together. And guess what? He ought to be the one that divides us too. People who go against the word of God and people who preach damnable heresies, we ought to separate from them. People who live in contrary to his word and thumb their nose at God, we ought to be separate from them. He brings those that love him together, and he separates us from those that do not love him. His word is what keeps us together And we must never forget that. Why did you come to church this morning? I hope your reason, because you love Jesus Christ and you love his word and you want to be more like him. What is the purpose of the church? Well, God has given this church pastors and teachers. What is their job? Perfecting the saints. Work of the ministry. Edifying of the body. Speaking the truth in love. To what end? Until we're all conformed to the image of his son. Christian. You know what Christian means? Christ-like. We're supposed to be like Christ. Not like Mike. Like Christ. Supposed to be like Christ. Why do you come to church? For what purpose are you here? Habit? Tradition? To be seen from others? Because you know, oh, if I don't come after a while, the pastor's going to text me and ask what I'm doing. And man, I feel bad, so I better go, so he leaves me alone. Or are you here because you have a common love for Jesus Christ? You have a common love for his word. And you have a common desire to be more like him. That's the reason we all should be here. And that's the purpose of a local New Testament church. If you haven't been saved, you're not part of a church. To be part of a church, the Bible says you have to be saved and baptized. To go to heaven, you only have to be saved. But the Bible says they that gladly received the word and were baptized were added unto them in Acts 2:42. And once you get saved, once you get baptized, you ought to be part of a church. You ought to be faithful to that church, and you ought to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You ought to learn your Bible, read your Bible, learn who the major prophets are and who the minor prophets are, and learn who the 12 disciples were and who was the one that betrayed Jesus, and learn about the book of Acts, and learn about the day of Pentecost, and Peter and James and John and the apostle Paul and Jude and Revelation. Learn about all those things and fill your mind with all this knowledge of the word of God. And then next thing you know, you're going to start growing spiritually to the point where you're going to be able to teach others also. That's the Great Commission. But how do we teach them? We speak the truth in love for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But that all has to start, number one, with salvation. Get your salvation settled. Trust in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's where you start. After salvation, you start to grow as babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Because we don't want to stay in Bible bibbies forever. We don't want to eat banana-flavored Bible food for the rest of our life. We want to get to the steak and the filet mignon and don't even get me started on the bacon of the Word of God. That's where we want to end up. We got to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ by reading the Word, praying every day, and allowing the grace of God to help us to grow. And then when we get to a point where we actually have something we can share, you know, when you start, share the gospel. Share the gospel. Well, I want to preach someday. I want to teach a Sunday school class. Not going to happen here unless you start preaching the gospel during the week. The first thing you need to do is learn how to share the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to show up to a soul-winning time faithfully every time, but that means that when you're at work and you have a coworker, you're sharing the gospel. It means when you're in town and the Holy Spirit leads you to pass out a track, you're passing out that track and you're sharing the gospel. You're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. Guess what? You got to learn. Become an expert in the gospel, because then you're going to be more comfortable sharing it. If you don't know what you're talking about, you've got a lot of growing to do. But at least all of us here should be able to share our testimony. Let me tell you about when I got saved. And if it's anything besides I believed on Jesus Christ and accepted him as my Savior, you need a new salvation testimony, because that's the only thing the Bible teaches necessary for salvation is believing on Jesus Christ. But after that, we're saved by grace through faith. After that, we grow. And we're supposed to grow to a point where we start to invest our lives into others and teach others what we have learned through the Word of God. So I just pray that the sermon this morning has helped you understand what's the purpose of church. The purpose of church is so we have pastors and teachers getting together to help us to become more like Christ. And he ought to be our common ground. He ought to be the reason you're here this morning, not anything else. It ought to be your love for Jesus Christ and your desire to be more like him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for